Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 103rd.
The 103rd. That's one of the lines on an American football pitch. We were talking about the Super Bowl last week. So he's got past the 103rd.
Yeah, or it sounds a line from a movie about the American military. I'm from the Bud Pod 103rd, sir.
Of course,
We've taken up positions around the town.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice one.
It's also, Phil, 2 years to the day almost since we started Bud Pod.
Wow.
It's our second Bud Podiversary.
2 years to the day? That's the same length as my entire boarding school career. I was at that school for as long as I've done Bud Pod. Man.
And you've seen even more flaccid penises.
I've certainly heard more shit stories.
Because back then you were living the stories. What did your friend say at school that made me laugh so much? He has a horrible wet.
Oh yeah. I stood in his wet, which was the little, because all the rooms had a shower between three. So if you were in afterwards, you know, you would step into the previous guy's wet, which is just a bit of water on the floor of the shower. Oh, I stood in his wet.
It's so poetic. I really love that. It's so good. This leaving, this imprint.
Oh. Yeah. Like a memory, like a sodden memory of
ectoplasm. Previous time.
that's the vibe he gave off of ectoplasm. It's wet.
Imagine if you had a condition, like it was fine. You didn't shorten your lifespan. You're completely normal, except that you just were always like you had just stepped out of the shower.
Well, like so even if you're outside in your shoes, you stood a place for a while and you walked away, there would be a little puddle where you were.
Yeah. It was always just sort of dripping.
But like pure clean water.
Yeah.
Like spring water. Yeah. The loveliest water. But it doesn't matter because all people see is just a wet patch where you've just...
It would be even weirder. They'd analyze it and it would be like that distilled water they use for chemistry.
Yeah, right. Like pristine H2O. The kind of water that you can superheat. Do you know this? I think this was on...
Oh, yeah.
It was an episode of Mythbusters, maybe. If you get a pure water, pure H2O with no impurities, you can heat it to beyond 100 degrees Celsius, beyond its boiling point.
Yes, because the impurities are what make it boil at that level, right?
Yeah, something like that. And then the second you add an impurity to it, like you just drop a spoon in it, the whole thing explodes because it has to all evaporate at once.
That's definitely like a plot of a Nicolas Cage terrorism film.
Yeah, or it's how Walter White gets out of a predicament in series 2, I'd say, of Breaking Bad.
Series 2, or very late on when you've sort of forgotten that he's a scientist nerd.
Yeah, they ran out of the fun chemistry. You know, there was, for Breaking Bad, they had like this chemistry professor. It's like, we got so many great ideas for, and by the end of series 2, he's just like, I've used everything. Like, there's only... so many chemicals that explode.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And there's only so many chemicals that one might find, say, in a police cell.
Yeah, or at a CVS.
Yeah, exactly.
Although to be honest, I think the American pharmacies stock more chemicals than most British industrial estates.
It's so difficult to write anything as exciting set in the UK as it is in America, because in America it'll be like, he was just an average Joe until someone murdered his wife. And then you're like, oh no, what's he going to do? And it's like, so he got a machine gun and a bomb and a car and a laser and a satellite guidance system and an infrared goggles and one of those ghillie suits that snipers wear, and also these combat boots and this pouch that can hold extra ammunition and some ammunition, lots of ammunition and some dynamite. And you're like, where? And he's like, Walmart. He went to Walmart once.
it was one shop, just one big shop.
Yeah, yeah. He got what they call the Punisher discount.
Yeah, he had to get one of the deep shopping trolleys. Not the shallow ones for when you're just shopping for a week, but like a deep family shop size trolley.
They should do an offer where it's like the Avenging My Dead Wife offer, where it's like if you buy all those things together, it's quarter 25% off.
It's amazing there aren't more vigilantes in the US.
It's got to be so simple to be like if I lived in America. Not like in the UK, if you think, wow, I really want to be a vigilante. So, well, you can't. What can you buy? You can go buy a cricket bat. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, like,
maybe a slingshot.
Yeah, and they're gonna find
you. Be Dennis the fucking Menace.
Yeah, you gotta be Dennis the Menace, and they're gonna find you on CCTV.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons you don't need to be a vigilante, because they just found the guy you're looking for on CCTV as well. it's just CCTV everywhere. Whereas in America, the decision not to be a vigilante, like, you'd have to actively take that decision most days. You're just in a traffic jam, like Michael Douglas from Falling Down, getting really angry and thinking, God, I should follow that car and shoot everyone inside.
Not being a vigilante in the US must just be like trying to avoid sugar. It must just be like you reach for it and you go, oh no, that's right, I'm trying not to.
It's Lent.
Like, speaking of, have you given up anything for this unfestive period?
The least festive period of the Christian festive calendar, the 40 days of voluntary misery.
It's like they wanted to perfectly cancel out Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you think in the early church they were saying, people are starting to tell if you're Christian by how fat you are in spring, and we need something that's not helping our reputation. You know, we're a small organization, we've got to grow. Let's get a kind of diet and exercise element in here.
Yep, the original Dry January... It's Lent.
I've provisionally given up takeaways.
Oh, okay.
Unless I'm going to share one with my lady friend. That's my rule.
Okay.
If it's the closest thing I can get to a social event during lockdown, then maybe I'll indulge. Not necessarily, and we haven't.
But all this means is that every other night you're going to be going to your lady friend takeaway night.
I'm going to just be like my face at the window tapping, you know, pointing at a Deliveroo or Just Eat on my phone, nodding. Yeah, yeah. like a demon of temptation, which is appropriate for Lent.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was ordering. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was ordering or getting takeaways just like because I can and there's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've stopped. Have you stopped anything?
Well, I was thinking about it, and then someone I know said, "It's been a whole year of giving things up." and I was like, "Oh yeah, it's been Lent year." I think if there's any year where you're allowed not to give anything up this Lent, I think this is probably it.
I think that's true, yeah. In defense of my own takeaways-based concern, that's someone talking to you there who still fits into their genes.
Right, fair enough.
That's a problem.
How is your physique at the moment? You're pretty trim, aren't you?
It's pretty gloopy.
Gloopy?
It's pretty gloopy at the moment. It's not disastrously gloopy, but it's gloopier than it was, and it's too gloopy. And actually, I'll tell you what would make more sense. Well, no, I only started it yesterday. So your friend and mine, comedian Stuart Laws, who's very good on Twitter and TikTok. And
good old Stu Law.
Good old Stu Laws. Of Turtle Canyon as well.
Coleslaw.
He's doing a press-ups challenge and a squats challenge.
But I never know with him if it's a joke. He's filming it as a joke.
Oh, he's not. I don't think he's even filmed this.
Okay. Well, so he's giving himself so many press ups and so many squats to do a day.
Yeah, but you do a certain number a day and then you add one each subsequent day.
Ooh!
So it gradually increases. And the press-up one started yesterday and he was telling me about this. And I was like, oh man, I want to do that because I haven't done exercise in 1,000 years, which is why I'm a kind of... If you could be an Egyptian mummy who was also gloopy, that's what I am. I'm an Egyptian mummy who got left out in the rain. I'm all gloopy and crusty and...
And not, like, not wrinkly at all.
Yeah, too just shiny, puffy and shiny. Horrible. So I said, I'm in.
Like a drowned mummy, you look like. Yeah. A drowned mummy.
Yeah. It's like some ancient Egyptian guy in his, like, tunic or whatever. Oh, we only just mummified that guy and he washed away. You washed down the Nile.
So you're gonna try this? You're gonna try the...
Yeah. I did
one new push-up a day.
No, so you do 10 of 3 different kinds, and then you add one each day. So
then the next day you do 11?
Yeah, of each kind. So you do 30, 33, oof, 36, 39, 42, etc.
No, I'm out.
But I used to be good at push-ups, and now I'm like a tiny, weak baby, so I'm going to fight back. I'm going to make it so that when I go back to gyms, when gyms reopen in 2025, I seem like I've been better behaved than I have been. And I haven't just turned my body into lamb, really. Just fatty cuts of lamb.
Well, I mean, gym day is now 12th of April.
Is it 12th of April now? Is that official?
12th of April is gyms and outside restaurants.
Ooh.
You can eat outside. Did you not watch our favorite boy, Little Boy Johnson, giving us all the good news yesterday?
Our favorite cum-streaked boy. I didn't actually. You know why? Because I saw he was giving a press conference, and everyone was like, "Oh, we're going to find out all this, blah blah blah." And I'm so sick of it all that I'm just like, you know what? I'll read it on Twitter. I don't care. I don't fucking care. Someone else will tell me this, and I get nothing from watching him blather his way through it live and say the word "alas." And
well, you know, I guess Twitter's been my Lent from before Lent. I've not been on Twitter, and I'm trying to stay off it for now. I'm trying to stay off social media for now. So I used to be like that. I was like, I won't watch the news. I'll just watch an angry filtered version of it and unfold online.
Yeah.
But now it's so nice, Pierre, to receive news without an opinion attachment that I'm forced to open.
Without someone writing "this" in capitals.
Yes. Thank you. I'd rather. Yeah.
Oh man.
So I just get the news neat now.
Neat, no ice.
Neat, no ice. And you know, I've not, like, for not being on social media, I've not missed out on, nothing's caught me by surprise. You know, there hasn't been like a giant robot ant has walked up to the house and I was like, "What? When did this happen?" And people were like, "Haven't you seen on Twitter? The giant robot ants have taken over." I was like, "Oh shit, well, I should have known." That hasn't happened. I know as much as anyone else, and I've not tortured myself with the dumb opinions of others.
All you've missed out on is some memes.
Yeah, I mean that's the wicked thing. Like, when I have taken a break from social media, every time I come back, it's like a different country.
Yeah, well, like we were saying with
Jackie Weaver.
Yeah.
See, even you've already forgotten her name.
Already, I forget.
She was the biggest thing in the country a couple of weeks ago, and you've already forgotten her name.
The Queen.
She's bigger
had an
than
opinion.
The Queen.
Yeah, the Queen had an opinion on Jackie Weaver. Yeah, or how soon we forget. And it's just this endless churn, and nothing sticks.
I think that's what I really grasped this year, is that nothing sticks. And with the briefings, that's what they really hammered home, is nothing sticks. So there's no... Why watch the day-to-day one?
Yeah, that's right. Nothing sticks, and everything is just completely based on whatever's happened that day, and it's just fluid. I mean, that's why, like, I still have my subscriptions to, like, you know, Private Eye or New Statesman or whatever, and my flatmate gets The Economist, and there just has never felt like any point in reading them, because certainly over the last year, the news is, it's just like, well, that's out of date now. It's been 10 hours.
Yeah.
So the idea of reading something that comes out monthly seems like insane.
Yeah, it's like, unless you're working on the teams to solve it, there's no point being up to date with a crisis, really. There's no point being up to date with a crisis.
Yeah, they don't need you.
Yeah.
They're not going to call you in and be like, quick.
Yeah, you'd make it too many cooks if you were to throw your hat in.
If they were calling you in, the crisis would be much worse than you'd thought.
I was saying this to you earlier, you know, from time to time I see a screen grab of someone, you know, saying something online about, they should be doing this to solve this unprecedented fiasco. And in the past I would have been like, yeah, why aren't they doing that? But now if I see someone, I'm like, what? Who the fuck do you think you are? What the hell do you think you know that these people don't?
Well, this is the problem, is that we've seen the consequences of being sick of experts, so now people look for some kind of our era is just like a bunch of people who have decided to, like, overthrow the professor. And be like, yeah. We're sick of you telling us what to do, you fucking Poindexter. And we've pushed him over in the mud, and we've taken his pointing stick for lecturing with, and now we're going to run the lecture.
And his big motorboard.
Yeah, we put on his motorboard hat. Mortarboard, that's right, mortarboard hat.
Mortarboard, that's it.
I had a complete brain fart there. And we've put it on, and we've gone, now I'm the lecturer. And all the other muddy children have gone, yeah! And it's gone, so everyone's failed their exams. It's gone really badly. It's like if you were to go back and read some articles from the 70s about, like, far too many of people in power go through these traditional routes of slowly learning expertise in organizing a large trade union or perhaps a biochemical company or an investment, and you go, please, can we go back to that?
Yeah.
Everyone in charge is boring and slow and clever. I've missed that a lot.
That'd be great.
Imagine.
That'd be absolutely brilliant.
Imagine it. You wouldn't have Matt Hancock with his creepy little pumpkin face on TV just ignoring. Do you think he is like a gimp?
He would suit a tight leather suit, wouldn't he?
Because
there's something about him that's like, yeah, he would fit perfectly with, like, a little red ball in his mouth. You know, not that I want to do that to him. It's just, if I saw him in that outfit, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be like, the health secretary is wearing a gimp costume. I'd just be like, oh, look, it's Matt Hancock.
Yeah, whereas, like, because I keep putting him on TV to suffer, and then he keeps fucking up, and his life seems to consist of being hit with a big spade.
Did you watch him sort of mid pandemic last year when? Well, he's always on Zoom on news shows in front of that disgusting picture of the Queen that he bought at Camden Market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he there's a moment where every time he was on Good Morning Britain, he just had the eyes of, like, a guy who's about to snap. He looked like a guy who's about to go vigilante in the US. Just like, yes. Well, we're trying our best, kids.
his approach to being in charge of a failing effort and to go on breakfast television has been to sort of constantly emit a low-level chuckle. Like the Joker or like someone who's trying not to get shot in a hostage crisis. No, that's what it is. It's someone trying not to give away that there's a gun pressed against the base of their spine. He's going, oh, like while they're saying unprecedented numbers of deaths, complete fiasco, and he's going, oh, wah, 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 just this constant, like, rolling giggle. It's horrible.
Between him and Preeti Patel, it's like the fucking chuckle twins in government.
Yeah, they've...
The old smirk.
Old
it's either
like
him
face.
Giggling and chuckling or her smirking. It's like, there's no one taking this seriously.
Well, no, they've been told, like, everyone thinks you're cold, heartless, and incompetent, so maybe you could just be cheerful and incompetent.
Well, you remember back in the day when it was obvious Gordon Brown had been given that note?
Oh, yeah.
And he'd have to remind himself consciously to turn on the smile button, and you go, and he'd scare children.
He's the only person I know who can visibly make the decision to smile. Time to smile now, Gordon. And then just... you could hear, like, wood creaking. It was terrifying. But Hancock's creepy chuckling, and then the creepy crying, and then the stuff with the school meals as well. Did you see that interview?
No.
So, but like, even when it's not his department, they put him on the news to be the gimp and get hit with six. So when they did the U-turn, the second U-turn on school meals, or maybe it was even the first, I don't know. But then they were just like, Piers Morgan was just saying, well, you know, so you think it's good that we're feeding all the kids now? Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really great. And, Marcus Rashford, really great, blah, blah. And then the guy's like, Piers Morgan is like, well, then do you regret not doing it before? Well, it's really great that we're just doing it now. Well, then, so you think you should have been doing it? You think it's a good thing to do? Yes. Well, do you regret not doing it then? Well, it's good to move forward, and like, it's the most awkward thing. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. And he's just, but he's smiling the whole time. Like, as if Piers Morgan.
It's like the Tory party, all these waste of kids smoking outside the school bins. And every time a teacher comes around, they shove Matt Hancock. Go, go, go. But, go on.
He's reacting though, like someone's not asking a devastating question about his callous incompetence or the callous incompetence of his government. He's reacting as if Piers Morgan is going, are you sure you don't want a pudding? Oh, no. Well, you know, I'll leave the dinner there. Thank you. It was delicious. But we have so much pudding. Oh, well, though, you know. He's so pleased. It's got to be a sexual thing.
Yeah, that's what the gimp outfit's for. Behind that big, horrible picture of the Queen is a vault that he opens, and in it is all his gimp stuff.
Do you think it's possible to do that? All that chuckling around a red ball gag?
Well, that's why his laughing is so rictus and stiff, because he's used to having that gag.
He's used to going like, oh, yeah. Just on the news like that.
But yeah, the gym day is 13th of April. Theatre day is supposed to be 17th of May.
Really?
Yes, theatre day is 17th of May, and... And most indoor hospitality settings are opening, supposedly on the 17th of May. The relevant question for you and me and our like Pierre is, what does that mean for the famous Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
That's true.
Is that two indoors?
That's true.
So June the 1st is supposed to be Freedom Day. No, June the 21st is supposed to be Freedom Day. That's the day when all restrictions supposedly are being lifted. All social interaction restrictions are being lifted, 21st of June, which is, you know, that's a month and a bit from the Fringe.
I guess the Fringe, like a lot of the Fringe preparations are non-physical up till that point anyway, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it's not like Glastonbury where they have to be there, you know, building shit and, I don't know, carrying barrels. I don't know how Glastonbury works, but...
Digging up crystals from the year before.
That's right.
Shit, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I wonder.
But then Scotland is I don't know, because they need the money.
Oh, that's right, it's England. Yeah, this is England.
When Scotland's Freedom Day, they need the money, though. They like to be stricter to make Boris look bad, but they do need the money.
From the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah. Huge money.
But remember what Scotland does is, throughout the whole COVID crisis, they go, man, look what England have done. And then a week later, they do it. Quietly, they do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, also, I guess if you put, like, so many of the people who go to the Fringe are international, what if they put it on and it's like, well, other countries can't come. There's a travel ban. They're not vaccinated.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess maybe it would be, maybe it'd be a very nice Edinburgh Fringe when there's only, like, 20 shows on.
I think it'll be, I think you're underestimating the harrowing ambitions and work ethic of clowns, because I think there's going to be the same number of shows and like 80 Scottish people to go around. unless they convince the rest of the country that would normally want to go to Marbella to bother coming to the Fringe and holidaying within the UK for once. Maybe.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
And then we'll lose the long-standing Fringe tradition, Phil, that you and I have both done, of accidentally having an audience of sort of 30 German backpackers.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a very good chance you won't be able to even get a plane ticket this summer, Pierre. Holiday bookings have gone through the roof since last night's announcements.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes, I've been a regular news hound this last 24 hours, it seems.
The news, eh? Oh, sounds like this is the sort of thing a fella should know about. Yeah, I should...
Oh, dude, here's a bit of news. The loopiest story on BBC News app when I opened it up this morning. A guy in America was killed by the gender reveal device he was building.
You're kidding. Like a Taliban bomb maker.
It blew up. I presume it blew up. It killed him.
What?
28 years old.
28? That's younger than us now.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 years younger. 3 years younger than me. It's killed him, you know, killed himself with a... And the worst thing about it, they asked his brother for a quote about it. His brother said, "It's the freakiest of freaky accidents." The freakiest of freak accidents, he said. What a thing to say about your just dead brother. Oh, it's the freakiest of freak accidents.
He's not
the only one. A couple of years ago, 2019, I saw there was a woman killed at a gender reveal party when the homemade, I mean, this goes back to what we started this podcast talking about, the homemade explosive device for the gender reveal exploded and threw a piece of shrapnel into her head and killed her instantly.
I mean, those are literally IEDs. That's what like the Taliban make and the IRA.
Yeah.
Only in America.
This is America, baby.
You just make your own IEDs. Also, like that guy's saying, oh, it's the freakiest of freaky accidents so that his brother doesn't seem like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, unfortunately for him, I guess God bless him for trying, what he's saying is, God, you'll never guess what exploded. That explosive. It would only be a freaky accident if it had exploded and killed him and it had been a birthday cake.
That's true.
Then they'd be like,
that's
what?
That's a very good point.
Oh, it turns out if you whisk eggs fast enough, oh, it's like a grenade. It's like, no, you were building a bomb and you're not an engineer with a robot that's building it for you in a factory. You're a domestic gender terrorist.
Yeah, you're not in the Hurt Locker. You try to build a bomb with some blue paint in it.
Why isn't there a fucking terrorist attack in America every day? If people can make, if all it takes to have enough dedication and access to chemicals to make a bomb is to just be like, oh, I'm having a kid.
Oh, well, you should have said, sir, here, have a cigar and 5 pounds of C4.
We don't have any blue paint, but are nails okay?
We have all these pink ball bearings. Would you like those?
It's just like, you know what this is? This is the amazing influence of just like a 7-second clip on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, the body count of TikTok at this point.
Oh my god. Suicide because of people hate how they look because...
Suicides they fucking filmed on TikTok. I mean...
Yeah.
It's
interesting, isn't it, to look back at, say, you know, there's like VHS tapes that Bin Laden would release.
Yeah.
And they'd be like a kind of 20-minute long thing, and he'd be in his cave, and he'd be like giving a sermon for 20 minutes. And you just think, if you just filmed yourself in the cave, Osama, just doing a little dance, lip-syncing to something...
Yeah.
Who knows how many terror attacks there would have been by now. Someone
should have told him, these diatribes, they're too long. It's got to be like 8 seconds. You lose people in the first two.
Osama, we need snackable diatribes.
We need bite-sized fatwas, Osama. People, they just don't have time these days.
People want to learn about a new fatwa on the way to work while they're on the toilet.
While they're waiting for the bus.
While they're waiting to blow up the bus.
Can you believe there was a time, Pierre, that was so innocent that we were horrified by the movie The Ring, in which a video of a dead person inspires people to die?
Yeah.
Well, that's just TikTok now. You've just described the most popular social media app in the world.
This the video from The Ring is on TikTok and no one's noticed. People just skip past it.
Anything's the least deadly. You get 7 whole days.
Yeah, but they're like, wow, I can watch a trillion TikToks by then. That's great. they scroll down to it, they find it, and there's just the slow focus on the well with the horrible music, and they just go yeah, and they just go on the next one, and it's like a dog with a Mexican hat. They just skip past that girl. Hasn't got a chance.
I always think, you know, about parents with kids. You know, when I was growing up, parents who wouldn't let their kids listen to rap or play video games. I was like, just chill out. What do you think? And parents going, it ruins your brain. And I'm going, no, it doesn't. Calm down, your point, Dexter. But if I had a kid now and they wanted to download TikTok, I'd throw their phone in the sea.
I think like more and more I'm sympathizing with those people who go and raise their kids just in like a remote island. Or like on a farm. Certainly not a smartphone. Even a smartphone generally, God knows.
Yeah, I mean like
every app is just like, right. What's the way to become one of the most popular apps on the App Store? All we know is that it has to involve teenagers killing themselves. So let's just work that into the app, and we'll figure out what the app's
reverse for engineer from that. Yeah, that point.
Yeah, they've got a big whiteboard and they draw like a teenager killing himself, and they go, right, that's what we're aiming for. How do we get here?
Arrows pointing on this circle.
They're circling it loads with one marker.
And underlining, chuck, chuck, chuck.
This is what we want.
You know what I hate, actually? Sorry to go on a tangent, but people who like use like whiteboards in that way,
yeah.
And then every time they refer back to the point, they touch it and they add a little dot. And so you end up with this fucking mess of just all these dots everywhere. They think it's helping. It's like, you know, there's 200 dots on this board now.
Yeah. And it looks like it's got a name, like picked like the art that they make by doing that.
Oh, like the art that weird Japanese lady makes with all the polka dots
with little dots. Yeah. Or sometimes, yeah, I've seen someone. I remember people doing that at school, and I've seen people do that in like maybe in a meeting or something. And you're like, oh, and I didn't know what you were talking about till you dotted it for the 11th time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, better get 30, better get 20, 20, 20, better get 20, 20, better get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
But anyway, we digress. Kids with... I think sort of social media apps are cynically optimized to arrest our attention. But have you seen, like, iPad apps for kids? Like, for young kids?
Oh, yeah?
Like, the sort of... these interactive bright cartoons and the sounds. It's like... and they're literally throwing all these addictive colors at other kids.
I've seen
if you try and take the iPad away from the small kid, it's like, ah! It's like you're pulling his leg off. It's like, ah! Ah! Awful, man. And I don't know if I told you this, but I was a couple of years ago, not very long ago, I was in an airport and I saw this little toddler waddle up to like a sign, just a normal sign. For, I don't know, the McDonald's or, you know, some credit card or whatever. And the kid just reached up to the sign and just started, touched it and just started swiping left and right. And the kid couldn't figure out why it wasn't changing.
No way.
It was like, what? It didn't understand that some screens in the world aren't touch screens and you can't change everything with your touch. It was really peculiar.
That's so weird. Oh, man. I remember seeing my nephew. I got a glimpse of kids' YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And there's all sorts of... like, kids' YouTube is huge. It's probably bigger than normal YouTube. It's massive. And it's full of, like, kids' cartoons or whatever. Or, like... but there's, like, YouTubers who do, like, kids' yoga, kids' sing-along, whatever. And it's, like...
kids' yoga?
Yeah. Like, yeah, so like little yoga or ballet or whatever to
do with your
kid. I guess
they must find the child pose very easy.
Yeah, they've smashed that day one. but there's these people who are like our age, who are like YouTubers, but they dress up and put on a silly hat and they go, "Hi, I'm Binky the Clown!" And they do a whole kids show. Hmm. And some of them, like, obviously some of them are like, you know, millionaires from it and whatever. But they're so loud, Phil.
Yeah.
Because one of the best ways to keep kids' attention is like high-pitched screaming noises. So it's like, it's really like an absolute assault on the senses. Bright colors and someone's going, wah! Just like, wah! Just like dinosaurs fucking constant screaming and yelling and like... you know when people put on a fake high voice?
Yeah, I don't have no idea what you mean, Pierre. What are you talking about?
Well, that's just amazing! Like, just this horrible... it's something ghoulish about it, because it's done with such intent.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to trick the kids into something. What? I wonder why babies like that. What sort of natural reason is there for babies to like high-pitched, relentless noise?
Well, they can hear more high frequencies than we can.
That's true.
Young kids. So maybe that's part of it. I mean, look, at a certain point, you don't want to be the kind of person who's like, there's a plastic toy, and if you press a button, it says moo. It's not over. It's the devil. You know, you don't want to... their children should meet a real cow that lives in the yard.
And could bite their head off.
Yeah, exactly. Slop out the cows, then you'll learn they say moo soon enough. You don't want to be that guy, but there's a point where it's like, you know what I think it is? I think this is a workable analogy here. So you know how like TikTok, we're saying it's like it's engineered to addict your rat brain, your monkey brain.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's the difference between weed and crack.
What? Okay.
So like something
which
like...
which is weed, which is crack.
Yeah, so something like a speak and spell or even, I don't know, just some boring video game like Sonic or whatever... kids TV, that's just like a cartoon, whatever, Mickey Mouse. That's like weed. Yeah, it gets you high and it manipulates your brain chemistry, but in a kind of mellow, kind of scaled up, scaled down way, just up and down. Okay, it does something and it's okay and it's fine and it should be legal. Whereas, like, on paper, crack cocaine or, you know, heroin is still just a drug that does that, but it's too good at it.
Right.
And when it's too good, it's dangerous. That's it.
Right, yes.
You can't let people buy a pint of 90% proof vodka.
It's too good at getting you drunk.
Yeah, you'll die. Whereas you can have a beer.
Right, so you're saying that that guy should be fine. But
I'm saying that if you're just
the Ring app should be taken down.
Yeah, or just apps where it's like, okay, it's too good now. This is too good. You're well done. You're too good at this. You need to make the same thing they're doing with gambling apps and stuff, where it's like cool down periods and stuff. You can't use this for 45 minutes now.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think we're so good at manipulating our own brain chemistry that there's a certain point where free will is almost in question, right? Like it is with drug addiction.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. We can get to a point where we understand human psychology so well that we turn free will into a debate. Well, like a moot point or a debatable point.
Yeah, where it's like you'd have to be a really serious libertarian to stand in front of a homeless heroin addict and be like, well, if the gentleman here is, decides to perhaps have some more heroin today, then, you know.
Yeah.
there's a point where it's like, yeah, it's not a decision. Not really.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to be on TikTok? You've quit Twitter, so you're out of the game.
I've not quit Twitter. I'm just off it for a bit, and off the internet of opinions for a bit.
Mm.
It's the internet of opinions for. I mean, I used, you know, I love Twitter for the jokes and I've picked up things I really love off of it. You know, like bits of TV I wouldn't have seen otherwise, or radio shows or podcasts. But you have to make a judgment call whether or not it's worth listening to all the fucking bitching
and
the fucking whining and the moral grandstanding.
Until that
subsides, you know, I'm going to have to keep taking big breaks.
But why don't you use Twitter the way that, like, I remember finding out that some really old celebrity texted his tweets. Like, you could just text them in.
Right. That's how it started, isn't it?
I think so, but you can turn it into a one-way pipe.
Right, okay, yeah. I mean, I could just unfollow everyone.
No, then that's a whole thing. Then you're the guy who's unfollowed everyone.
You don't want to be that guy.
Well, that's just, no, I understand. That's just Lemmy, you know.
I understand. I mean, I could just unfollow all the opinion people, but then I get such a... The dangerous thing is I get such a rush. I mean, you know, if I see something stupid someone said, I'll screen grab it and I'll send it to you and I'll go, look at this fucking idiot. And it feels great. It feels so good. It feels great in the moment. This is how it's like a drug. It feels fucking great in the moment. But a couple hours later, you feel sad and you don't know why. You feel exhausted and sad and angry at nothing in particular and you don't know why.
It's because you've had a 3-hour argument with an imaginary version of that person in your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and a 3-hour argument is tiring enough in real life. Maybe I should find a way of just texting. Basically, I only go on there. This is the funny thing, is I basically go on there to tweet from, like, the BudPod account. Hey, by the way, BudPod's out.
Yeah, I mean, and it's good for that. It's good for letting people know what's up and, you know, when they can see you. And
you know,
I think people appreciate, I think it's very useful for that.
You know what's funny? Sometimes I'll tweet, that. Like... Ah, it's a new episode of BudPod from the BudPod account, and then you'll lose a couple of followers, and you're like, "Well,
you were following BudPod. What were you expecting?
This is all this is for."
Well, this BudPod account doesn't tweet anything but BudPod. This is not what I signed up for.
Oh, so you only wanted me to follow you so I'd listen to your podcast? Yes. That's literally it. That was my goal, and anything beyond that is completely incidental to the goal.
That's funny.
I think that's, yeah, that's a big, I think that's a big part of it, where people don't understand the difference, because they run their Twitter account as just like a fun, silly place where they look at dogs videos. Mm-hmm, so when they encounter a Twitter account where it's like, this is basically a business, you're basically following at KFC. It's just that it's not as successful as KFC.
Yet.
Watch out, Colonel.
Watch out, Colonel. Our original recipe chant is coming for you.
That's right. And we've got 12 herbs and spices. That's one more than you, you old fuck. That means that we can legally refer to you as the least spicy chicken, the least spiced, the blander spice. Recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? We just added cloves. Cloves!
It's called Christmas chicken.
I don't know why the selling point of KFC is how many herbs and spices there are in there, because it's not like the more the better, is it?
It's also, I mean, the days in which you could perceive that there is marjoram in the recipe are long gone. I don't think anyone's ever had a nibble of the Colonel's produce and said, is that marjoram? Do I detect a hint of marjoram? I think.
Well, that's right. I picked up a taste for the stuff in the Civil War.
I think I would love to see the herbs and spices as they're added now, because I'm just imagining a big vat of like dust.
Oh, yeah. It just comes in one big vat. It's just got the letter H sprayed on it, and they're just called Compound H, and
yeah,
it's made perfectly, exactly, identically every single time, the proportions.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely the case.
Do you ever have that thing where you have a little what would you call it? A little bottle of herbs? A little? They're not jars, are they? What would you call that? A shaker?
Oh, yeah. I guess you call it a little shaker of herbs, a little jar of herbs.
Glass jar shaker.
Vial.
A vial, yes. After a bit, they just become dusty leaves with no taste, don't they?
Yeah, although they always hold their smell, and then you put them in, and it's not done anything, actually.
Yeah, they have a limit, and I think that maybe KFC get around it by being like, well, technically, we've put leaves from the marjoram plant in. It's just that we buy old leaves in bulk or whatever for, like, nothing. Uh-huh. Get them for free. Because it genuinely is, like, so profoundly, or like, not tasteless, but it's not, you know, a spice explosion in the mouth.
No, yeah. I mean, to me, it tastes like pepper and salt.
I think they count salt and pepper as some of the spices, you know.
I think so.
Which is cheating, isn't it? It's like saying there's so many ingredients in our chicken, and you're counting chicken as the first one.
I've started recently eating things and having salt as, and eating salt, and it feels like a luxury flavor, salt. It feels like this amazing, magical thing, because I read a book set in the Wild West where salt was a luxury item.
Yeah.
And only like well-off people had like a little silver tub of salt on Sundays. They'd bring out a little tub of salt.
Now that's in your head.
And now that's in my head. So now every time I sprinkle salt on something, I'm like, oh wow. Solarium. Oh. I recommend it.
That's good, yeah, because then you can sort of, wow, it's this perfect crystal that just enhances the flavor of literally everything.
It's amazing, salt. It's I cannot believe it sometimes. I'm like, salt? Where did you come from? Well done. And like, what? How do you describe salt? How do you try and describe the taste of salt to me, Pierre?
Ooh, bitter and juicy.
Wrong.
It makes your mouth all juicy.
It does make your mouth juicy. Do you think it's bitter?
Yeah, salt and sour are similar vibes, I'd say.
Salt and sour?
Yeah.
You just said bitter.
Sour is bitter, isn't it?
Sour is bitter.
Isn't it? Bitter lemon? Would you say lemon is bitter?
I mean, lemon skin is bitter, but sour and bitter are very different tastes.
Would you say so?
Are you having me on?
What's sour and what's bitter?
Sour is like vinegar. Bitter is like very dark chocolate.
Oh, I guess so, yeah. In my head, they're just kind of interchangeable.
Are you... What? This is the strangest thing you've said to me in the 12 years we've known each other. You think sour and bitter are similar?
I mean, hang on. I'm going to say sour, bitter, similar.
Yeah, you might have to upgrade the BudPod Gmail account, Pierre, because the emails are going to come in.
Oh, interesting. Sour refers to acidic pH and bitter refers to alkaline.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I feel like I'm having an aneurysm.
Listen to this, Phil. This is on the website of the Society of Sensory Professionals.
Okay.
There is a phenomenon in the sensory world that widely referred to as the sour-bitter confusion that commonly occurs among untrained assessor.
What?
This occurrence involves the assessor describing a sour sensation as bitter or vice versa. The practice appears to be limited to predominantly English-speaking countries, such as the US, Great Britain, and New Zealand.
What?
Yeah.
This is the most...
Debate in the past has centered on whether this confusion stems from a physiological disorder or simply a deficit in exposure to and training with sour and bitter tastes. Is this your Asian cuisine mastery here, Phil? Helping you out?
I guess so. I never thought this was an Asian privilege.
Well, you guys have all sorts of special things that are sour and bitter.
Well, we literally have something called bitter gourd, which is a disgusting vegetable that only hardcore Chinese uncles love, and is a really bitter kind of spongy cucumber, and they have it with soy sauce. It's disgusting, and it's just plain bitter.
Ugh.
So from a young age, I guess I was like, this is bitter, and is awful. And then sour is obvious. That's just like the thing that makes you go, just put some lemons and vinegar. This is peculiar, though. This is like...
I'm trying to find out if I have a physiological condition now.
I can't believe this hasn't come up before.
Well, I guess, I mean, they so rarely are placed against each other, aren't they? Because they're sour and bitter. They're always against sweet and sour or bitter and whatever. Alkaline, I don't know.
Well, I think in general, bitter is quite rare. So,
yeah, that's true.
In food, bitter is quite rare.
Especially in the West.
I mean, coffee is a bit bitter. Dark chocolate is bitter.
Yeah, I suppose.
This is extraordinary. I cannot believe this.
I don't know if I'd... I you're right on a chemical level, but I would never... I don't know if I'd ever have said, wow, what a bitter coffee.
Really?
A bitter coffee, that would seem like...
Well, like a pint... What about like a pint of bitter?
Yeah, but I mean, so much of that just tastes like cream these days, right?
Right,
it's
yeah.
It's like a creamy pint, so it's like it's...
Do you feel like a bitter taste and a sour taste activate like the same corners of your gums there? Like at the back of your mouth?
I think
back
so.
Of your teeth? I guess they sort of do.
They make you sort of slap your tongue around a bit.
That's true, that's
go,
true.
And go, ooh...
Yes. But to me, it's just extraordinary that you think like the taste of vinegar and the taste of dark chocolate are like similar or comparable.
I don't think they're similar. I just wouldn't necessarily you're right. Like in the sense that I would rarely, but maybe not never, describe some dark chocolates as sour because sometimes they are so. You just go ugh. But they're a bit like, you can get some dark chocolates that have an almost lemony aspect to them, I find.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes, 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 yes. That is right. Yeah.
So you sort of go, ooh, that's a whole, that's a
and
whole
coffee
vibe
as well.
Yeah, and coffee. You get that coffee that still tastes like berries. I don't like that stuff.
I met someone who has chocolate, but only has like 90 or 95% cocoa. Dark
what?
Chocolate.
What?
It's like at that point, you don't like chocolate. Just punch yourself in the face every day.
Why don't you eat this? Why don't you eat this citron?
Just eat this soil outside your house. What is the point of 95% chocolate? Are you mad? I don't have much time for people who are dark chocolate purists. It's like, yeah, I get it. You're an adult.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Oh, you have a driver's license. Oh, good for you.
I've made this sweetie horrible. It's almost like a toughness thing, like putting out a cigarette on your arm, you know?
It really is. It really is.
Like, wow, look at that guy. He's eating something horrible that used to be good. It's even more heartbreaking.
He took out an ingredient that made it nice. That means he likes it more than we do.
And then the other side of this on the internet is that you get people being like, every time you see some post saying something like what we're saying now, someone underneath will comment and be like, exactly. And my partner or my mum or whatever always makes fun of me for adding syrup to my double chocolate sugaros. And it's like, no, you're also insane. No, you're not on our team either, man. If it's what I need to enjoy my breakfast, then that's what I need.
Man, what a bombshell. What a bombshell! I mean, I'd love to hear from Podbuds if they have a similar thing. I wonder how common this is. And how strange that it's predominantly English-speaking countries.
Yeah, that was
interesting. Is it a deficit of language, maybe?
I think it might be a language thing, and also the fact that bitter these days is so often used to refer to, like, what a bitter winter's day, or what a bitter person.
Yeah, and in my mind, that's always like, that person tastes like bitter gourd.
See, that's the thing. You have this, like, fruit in your head, or vegetable, that you could just go straight to.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're like, that's
right.
That. That's what that. It's in the fucking name.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, bitter lemon is a drink.
Well, but yeah, exactly. But that's why they have to say bitter lemon to differentiate it from normal lemon, which is just sour.
Yeah, I guess. But in my head, it's just like, well, if it's coming out of a lemon, then whatever.
So if you have sweet and sour chicken, you go, I guess chickens are naturally sweet and sour.
No. I just mean, like, it's like a... If there's a type of lemon that's also bitter as well as sour, then in my head it's just like, okay, well, just whatever, any word that means lemon taste is enough for this. I don't need to be, like, assessing this at all times. I'm trying to think of anything I'd have. Like, I drink black coffee, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's particularly bitter.
Well, how would you describe the taste of black coffee?
I don't know. I mean, it's just... Hang on, my microphone's going all weird. One second. No. Oh, God. My desk is such a fucking mess. How would I describe the taste of black coffee? But it like, I suppose what I mean more is it wouldn't even be strong enough for me to call it bitter.
Right, okay. It's just coffee.
Yeah, it just is. I don't know. Sometimes certain black coffees can taste sour. That's the most most I can tell you.
Well, whatever it is, Pierre, don't even talk to me until I've had my sour.
Don't even talk to me until I've had my bitter gourd. I want to try one of those now. They sound awful.
Oh, disgusting. It's the kind of thing you think, well, surely when the first person tried this, when everyone was testing out what was edible and what wasn't in the world, they went, no, this goes on the no pile. You ever come across a bit of food and you go, how was this not thrown on the no pile back in the day? I used to imagine that, you know, when I was a kid. I imagined that time when one guy had to go around tasting everything and putting it in his mouth and telling everyone if it was food or not.
Yeah, or yeah, just giving it a little, giving it to the person in the tribe who you hate the most. That would be a good way to stop kids being annoying. Be like, you know, in the old days, the most annoying kid was who had to try the berries.
I mean, we don't appreciate enough how extraordinary it is. We live in a time where we know what is the food and what is the rocks. We know what is. Back in the day, we didn't know. Back in the day, we were like, maybe.
Do you think,
put it in your mouth.
Maybe the literally the origin story behind all vegetables is we didn't kill a deer today.
Yeah, so we had to. We were so hungry. We haven't killed a deer for so long. We dug into the ground and found these sort of beige testicles. And we tried to eat them and they were gross, but we didn't give up. We invented fire and we put it over there to see, hopefully, maybe this will help. And it did.
Well, they're going around. Well, they wouldn't have been broccoli, because broccoli is an invention. Did you know that?
Really?
Broccoli ain't natural, son.
Well, what's it from?
It's natural, but in the sense everything's natural. It is cauliflower crossed with, I think, a type of pea plant.
Oh my days. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or some kind of like green leafy vegetable crossed with cauliflower. Crossbred, yeah.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, and I'm not sure, but I think it might be named after the inventor, or maybe the inventor changed his name or something, because you know the broccolis are the family that owned James Bond.
Excuse me?
Yeah, type in, this is your sour and bitter.
Broccoli inventor.
Type in broccoli James Bond as well.
Broccoli, sprouting broccoli was cultivated in Italy, that sounds about right. In ancient Roman times, and was introduced to England and America in the 1700s. So it's about as old as the tomato in Europe.
Yes, the first broccoli.
How bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird. It's its own weird little thing. In a controlled environment, it can be forced to reproduce itself many times. That's what we've been doing in lockdown, reproducing ourselves.
How was broccoli created? Broccoli was created from a kale predecessor in the 1500s by selecting for the larger flower clusters. Isn't it mad how, like, civilizations were just, like, before Darwin, civilization just kind of got evolution and they got genetics and but then you tried to tell it to them in a book and they went, you should burn! It's like, you already know this, you just made a broccoli.
Yeah, and it's like, this perfectly reasonable explanation for things that I've seen every day as a farmer is heresy!
And it's in the cabbage family. Look, this has been too much of an episode for me. This, I think I need to go and calm down. Sour is bitter, broccoli's not real, and if it is, it's a cabbage.
And
I've had enough.
And it owns James Bond.
And it owns James Bond. I've had enough.
Didn't he? I think it's like he's named after it or something. I want to find out. Family life. What's the name of
broccoli? So like they're the descendants of the inventor of broccoli.
Surely. He acquired
this is
his...
too much.
Oh no, that's not a nickname.
This is way too much for the middle of the week.
What does it mean? Family name. Why are people called broccoli?
Well, presumably the name came first.
A diminutive of brocco. See, brocco. Well, what's brocco? I hate it when things say that.
Well, but I mean, it's one of those languages where you add something, you know.
Yeah, but I'm trying to look at a definition, and they just go, oh, it's a diminutive of brocco. And you go, yeah, but what's that?
Well, brocco would be a surname, and then it's like when you go, if I called you... Well, it's like in Russia they have pichka, so you'd be like pichka or something. Pichka.
A brocco is a broccolo. A broccolo is a cabbage sprout, and a brocco is a shoot or a sprout. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I always thought that the broccolis were somehow affiliated with it, but I guess they're just called little sprout head man.
Oh, thank God. Broccoli wasn't invented by a man called Broccoli, whose descendants own James Bond.
I do like telling people that, though, so I'm going to keep doing that.
It is the slightly less insane truth that the broccoli was named, a sprouting leaf vegetable, and someone was named after that.
Imagine inventing broccoli. What a fucking legacy.
Yeah, that's something else. You go over for dinner at someone's place, like, you you enjoying that dinner there? And they're like, yeah, it's nice. Pretty good, huh? The broccoli's wouldn't be good without the broccoli, would you say? No, the broccoli's very nice. No, you enjoy. You're welcome. And then later on, they're like, why did that guy keep saying you're welcome about broccoli?
Or even worse, you go into someone's house for dinner, and then you go, you're not gonna serve any broccoli today? Is that I just think it's a good. You can have it as a starter. It doesn't even have to come with the main meal.
Nice to just pick at, but no, it's not for.
No, I guess not everyone. Not everyone loves it. Enjoy your sour and bitter broccoli, Podbuds.
Well, on those, like, at this point, five bombshells, we we should sign off.
Yeah, have a good week, guys. Enjoy. Happy pod budiversary, Phil.
Yes, happy 2 years. Happy the terrible twos, will it be?
Yeah, lots of screaming and pooping.
Sounds like us.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.